The Lord has instructed us that we should go in this direction. Actually, God is going to be doing some special things in the lives of people that has to do with their calling. Okay, there are those that the devil has targeted for them to perish without fulfilling their calling. And so God is trying to rescue you. All right, and that's a great privilege. It shows that he truly loves you. Dr. Miles Monroe, a great man of God who has gone to be with the Lord now, made some of the most profound statements on purpose. He said, the greatest tragedy in life is not death, but life without a reason. He's trying to say life without a purpose. Now, I'm going to be saying quite a number of things, so you have to write them down if you can, and you should. I advise you. Some of them, you'll not be able to pick them, especially at the beginning, because I'm laying the foundation. Okay? The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but life without a purpose. He went on to say, it is dangerous to be alive and not know why you were given life. He said, it's dangerous. Without purpose, life has no meaning, he said. Purpose means you have what you are living for. Have you ever seen a manufacturer who manufactured something and yes, that thing can't do anything? It's not for anything. It's not for any reason. It's just there. You can't use it to. It's useless. You know what the Bible calls men without purpose? He calls them worthless. Worthless. If you have a purpose and you are not fulfilling it, or you don't even have anyone at all, he calls you worthless. Miles Monroe went ahead to define purpose. In his definition, he says, purpose is the original intent. Purpose is the original intent for the creation of a thing. The original reason for the existence of a thing. The original intent for the creation of a product. How true. That's why there's no God's child who does not have a purpose with him. If you say you don't have a purpose, it just means that you've not discovered it. And we'll talk about that too shortly. Now, let me give you my own definition of purpose as a drama man. I define purpose in simple words, simple terms. The Lord has taught me to teach people very simply so they can understand. So that's why I try to avoid ambiguity. Okay, so I define purpose as your role in God's movie. Your role in God's movie. Your place in his master plan, your part in his story, and your own race that you must run. Most of those things sound drama, right? Glory to God. So, knowing that purpose is so important, they have said that when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. You will have to abuse it because you don't know the purpose. You could walk into a store and see something that looks like a spoon. In fact, I'd seen something like that before. There was a stuff like that looks like a spoon that I saw one time many years ago. And I thought it was a spoon. Maybe you use it to turn something like custard when you are cooking or something. But I discovered it wasn't at all. But I was corrected about the purpose of it. Okay? Because the purpose of that thing was not known to me, I would have abused it. But thank God I was quickly corrected. It was not to be used. It was just a decoration. I said, how can something like this be a decoration? Just a decoration. So when you don't know the purpose of something, do you know the reason why many Christians live the wayward life, the carnal life? Some of them don't even come to church. Some of them don't get to come to church. Sometimes they come, because they have not discovered their purpose. When you discover your purpose, you'll be more serious about life. You'll be more serious. You will know in your heart that you have a lot to do, yet the time is short. And you have to quickly achieve them before rapture, because you're going to meet with the master and he's going to ask you the job that you left undone. You will explain why. And then the ones you did and you didn't do well, you answer to him also. Very important, very important. How do you discover your purpose? Your purpose will always be revealed in your heart. In your heart means in your spirit. Your purpose will be there, revealed there, somewhere inside. Now, it's one thing for it to be revealed, is another thing for you to pick it. Some people don't pick it. It's there, but they don't pick it. But it's right there in their hearts, in their spirit, down there. They know it. But sometimes they don't pick it, but it's revealed there. Now, if you don't get to pick it, for some others, they just pick it, they just know already. But if you don't get to know, you don't get to pick it, then there's something to do. Ask your manufacturer. Ask your manufacturer. Nobody can know about anything manufactured than the manufacturer. Nobody can know anything about the product than the manufacturer. You may think you know, and you know that's the problem today anyway. You know, people don't even read the manual anymore. They just bring the television and say, I'm educated, what is it? What's so special? It's not just to put it on and give me the remote, I will look for it myself. They don't read the manual, they can see that thing there in that carton, they just put it aside, forget that thing. Why? Some of them don't have the time. They don't have the time. I mean, recently I got some gadgets, but in reality, I was not familiar with them. So I had to get to the manual or the manuals because they are, you know, just to study about these things so I could enjoy them. And it became easier because I knew. Who wrote the manual? The manufacturer. So you ask the manufacturer, and there are two ways you could get the answers from the manufacturer. Number one is by seeing the manufacturer face to face. In other words, having a meeting with the manufacturer. So you meet with the manufacturer and say, thank you so much for this thing that you have made. Can you tell me about it? How do I operate it? How does it function? What's the limit? How far can I take it? How far can it go? If I don't want it destroyed, what can I do? So you're asking the manufacturer face to face, or you don't get to see the manufacturer face to face, you go to the manual. You go to the manual. The manual is the heart, the mind of the manufacturer about this thing that he has manufactured, about this product. So you go to the manual. Now you are the product of God. For you to know about yourself, you ask him. You say, but the problem is I'm too busy. Yes, then you are not serious about purpose. You have to set time apart and ask him, what am I doing here? Why am I here? Who am I? You see, these are the questions. For someone who's really ready for life, ready for purpose, ready for greatness, these are the questions that you ask genuinely. Until you discover your purpose, you have not started living. That's the fact. You've not started living. When you discover it and you begin to fulfill it, oh, you begin to see differently. So you ask the manufacturer by meeting him directly, or you read the manual. In this case, how do you ask our manufacturer? God is our manufacturer. How do you ask him? Prayer. Prayer. It means it's time for you to pray. You shut your doors and you pray. You pray about it. You've not still picked it. Then add fasting. Father, you are going to have to tell me clearly. What in the world am I doing here? Am I here to balance the ecosystem? Why am I here? Am I just here to be... You know, there are people... Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Really, it's a tragedy. You know, there are people who live here as we speak now. They would never... fulfill their, I shouldn't say they will never. They never did fulfill their purpose until they died. People who lived there, who once lived there, they went through life. And yet there was something special for that guy. He went through life without fulfilling his purpose and died in that state. It's called wasted life, wasted time, worthless. The Bible calls them worthless. I will never live like that in the name of Jesus. You know, many people are satisfied with, I was born, thank God. I went to primary school, thank God. Secondary school, glory. University, glory to God. And then if they don't get to go to the university, they get mad at themselves, at everybody around them, at parents, for not helping them, at nature, at God, at everything. You are even, those things are small things. And then they get angry, and then, well. Maybe they even finally went to the university, they get a job somewhere, and they start working, and then while they are working, and then the next thing will be to get married, okay? And now get married, next thing will be to start having children. Now, if they don't have children on time, there's trouble. Oh, they will begin to disturb heaven, disturb God, and cry and shout, why do you hate me thus, God? Why? So you see, until finally they think, well, they've been able to push God to the wall. And God just said, finally, take your children, don't disturb me. And so they have the children, and then the children start growing. And then they try and struggle to keep the children going, the best schools, the good schools, the nice school, blah, 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 blah. And then the children too start growing, and then they start getting married. Now, if they have any of them that has not gotten married yet, oh, Father, please, what is happening? Oh, God, what is the matter? How can she be this beautiful, no husband? How can this one be so nice, no wife? You know, another problem of life, they go through that. The children finally all get married, start raising children. So they have become grandmas and grandpas. And then finally they wait for the grave. So one day we all go and meet God. So they begin to pray, Father, heaven, let me make heaven, heaven, heaven. And truly he dies and goes to heaven. In his mind he has done well. That's called the life of a failure. You live all your life for yourself. You are failed. That cannot be God's plan. Never. Not for his children. We are just like God. Don't you understand? We were made like him. The Bible says to be conformed to the image of his son. We cannot live that kind of life and you call it the life of, you know, I'm okay now. There's something better. Tell your neighbor, say there's something better. Okay, well, so you ask God, you take some time out and pray and fast and ask God, why am I here? Genuinely, honestly, until he answers you. He says, if you seek me with the whole of your heart, you will find me. That's what he says. If you're not serious, you may not hear. But there's another guy who is not even asking, but he heard. That's not an issue. The most important thing is that I must hear too. Whether you do it by prayer or it came by itself, I must hear. And the other guy that just received all by itself without God, without him praying for a long period of time, cannot move from that point until by prayer. See, even when God gives you the thing, for you to keep moving, you have to be constantly in prayer to know the next thing to do, the next thing to do now. But purpose. Then secondly, like I said, read the manual. That means the word of God. If you ask God and you ask God, everything he's going to tell you is going to be in the Bible. Now, here is an issue. When you study the Bible, you will not find anywhere there where it says, listen, I have sent you to be a lecturer in that school. Now, listen, for some people, that's their calling. That's their purpose in life that God has chosen for them, to be a lecturer. Okay? So, that's correct. But you may not find that in the Bible written that way. But one thing that the Word of God will do for you while you're studying or you are listening to messages is that while you're still studying and listening, what you were born to do will be quickened in your spirit. God has spoken to you, but you can't hear what he's saying, but your spirit can hear it. That's the importance of the manual. Finally, the right people in your life. The right people in your life. I'm talking about discovering your purpose now. You need the right people in your life for your spiritual guidance. Some people, all they just need is, they just need the right fellow, that spiritual guy or spiritual man, a pastor. The importance of having a pastor that is spirit-filled. Listen, don't deceive yourself. One tree can never make a forest. You want to make a forest. You are deceiving yourself. Let me read something to you. Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs 11. Can we go to the 14th verse? It says, where no counsel is, the people fall. Everybody read it. One to go. Can you see it? In the multitude of counselors. Now, these should be right counselors, okay? Not some dumb counselors. So that's why you need the right guidance, spiritual people around you. Where no counsel is, the people fall. They fall. You need counsel. Sometimes you may even receive something you think you have received it well. But maybe there is something. Listen, there is a lot to understand about how God speaks to us. Maybe there is something you are not actually getting when you approach your pastor or your spiritual guy and narrate it. It might just help you correct something there and say, see, this one is not counselors. Very important. Okay, so when you have the right people in your life, they will help you. Some of them will push you with words, motivation words, inspiration words, the word of God, prayer. They'll be praying for you behind you. They don't have to announce to you. You see? That's why that is important. Okay, so that's one way to those are the ways to discover your purpose. Now, your purpose has been preordained. Please. Now, these ones I want to say now, don't forget them. You must know these things now that I want to say about purpose. I'm trying to help you clarify some things before we begin to fly in this place. Your purpose has been preordained. It has been preordained, planned ever before you got to your mother's womb. It was preordained. It was planned ever before you got to your mother's womb. It was preordained. In other words, you have nothing to do with it. You are not the one that chose it. It was preordained. It was based on God's choice. Jeremiah chapter number 1. This is some powerful scripture here. Reading from the 4th verse. Then the word of the Lord came unto me. This is the word of the Lord coming from the mouth of Almighty God. Next verse. Before I formed thee, in the belly I knew thee. Can you see it? So, in God's mind, before you were born, he already knew you. When you showed up on earth was not when you showed up to him. Do you understand? It was not new when he saw you. When they were rejoicing, I said, no. He knew you all the time. He knew everything. The word knew there. It means he knew everything about you. He knows about your color. He knows the reason why you are born into that family. The color of your eyes, your hair, everything about you. God keeps records like this. He planned them because of what he has called you to do. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Ah! And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Like he has ordained you to be an evangelist, ordained you to be a pastor, teacher, whatever he has ordained you to do. A politician. Of course, there are Christians that are called into politics. Now listen, God's purpose is all about his kingdom. It will always have direct or indirect connection with his kingdom. If his purpose for your life has no connection like that, then it's not from God, it's from you. You think you are hearing God, you are hearing yourself. He said, what about the one that is a lecturer? What has that got to do with God's kingdom? Very simple. There are God's children in that university. There are God's children there. There are elect there that need to be reached. So the guy has been sent there because of God's children there. He's connected to his kingdom. What about the politician? What's God's business with that? Evil prevail when wicked men rule. So God is looking for his children that will go and take that place. That's if he truly sends you. If he doesn't send you, you will fall flat. You may use the name of Jesus and call all the Christians and say, all of you, vote for me. See, I will make your life better. If you're not sent, you will not win. There are those who are truly sent to do these things. Just discover where you belong. Life begins when you discover. Woo, glory. Romans chapter number 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Predestination is working. Say predestination is at work in me. Predestination. God, do you know what predestined? He planned it. Those you will meet, those that will help you, your destiny helpers. Everything he has planned, where you should be, who you should marry. That's the reason why before you take steps, you listen to God. What is God saying? So that you will not step out of his plan for your life. Because the moment you miss it, listen, it usually takes mercy. Even that mercy will not be like it. It won't make your life be like it. Because there's something that God has planned. You find out and you walk in it. Listen, if you did not discover God's purpose, and you are living your own life, you're just living your life. There are some decisions that when you make them, they can be restored. Those wasted years can be restored. There are some decisions that when you make them, even when your wasted years are restored, this one will not change. That's why you must be very careful. Very. You know, when we preach to young people and we tell them about this, they say, oh, you're just being religious. Okay, be careful. All right, now. You remember the first point I made? I said your purpose has been preordained, right? I was trying to let you know important things that you need to know about your purpose. Okay, it's not something that you did or you didn't do. God just chose you. Now, sometimes you look at some people and you wonder why God chose them to do this thing. Why is it that it's this guy that God chose? It's his choice. It's his choice. Some people will look bad to you and then they are the ones that were chosen. And when they now call them out and they begin to give them prophecy, you say, hey, this is God's self. is God's choice. Did you know God chose Solomon? How could God choose Solomon to be that wisest king? The mother was snatched from her real husband. And the Bible shows that God loved the child. God loved Solomon. Now, the person that gave birth to him, Bathsheba, was a bath enticer. And yet God loved the child, The child that came out of that kind of marriage, God loved the child. It's God's choice. No, it's God's choice. And the Bible says you cannot ask. So when God chose you, it was his choice. That's the reason why his calling, his gifts are without repentance. Because when he chose you for life. For life. And he's not going to change his mind and say, I'm no longer choosing you. No. Listen, he may give your job, all right? In other words, he will take the grace. He may give that grace to someone else and hand it to someone else, but your own calling is still there. If you now change today and say, all right, Lord, I'm ready, and you're genuinely ready, it will be as though you never messed up. Why? Because you were chosen before you were born. You did it. It was not your prayer that made him choose you. Don't you understand? You know how I had plenty plans for myself. At the beginning, I was just messing up. Following my own way, following my plan, Many times God had tried to caution me, use human beings. Sometimes they would deal with me in such a way that I should have sense, and the sense should come back and say, wait. But no, I was still going my way. But when I realized and I came to, I said, Father, I'm ready. It was as though I never messed up in the past. He took me like this and began to walk with me. Say hallelujah. Our God is so gracious. So gracious. Oh, did you remember that prodigal son that we call the prodigal son? Do you remember him? He went to meet the father and said, divide everything. Give me my own part. Give me my part. My share is today. The man tried to talk him out of it. He said, no. And then finally, he was given. He went. The Bible says he spent it anyhow. You know, riotous living, the Bible calls it. He just wasted the money until he spent everything and then began to be in want. And when he started being in want, then he came to himself. He said, what's the matter with me? Even my father's servants, they are being fed. Let me just go back to the man and tell him, daddy, maybe I should not even call you daddy, but just accept me as one of your servants. But the Bible says something touching, striking. The Bible said, why he was coming. You know, the father was watching out for him all the time, looking out for him. Where is my son? Where is my son? And then when the daddy saw him coming from afar, went, rushed to hug him. Listen, that was the guy that squandered daddy's money and wasted all the money. And yet, daddy went to hug him. Say, you wasteful child. You. He's like today, don't come here. Oh, this is not this house you are coming. You this bastard, you are not coming here. Please, people should not let him enter. No. Look at the father. The father went, rushed to hug him. He's trying to describe to you the character of God. You know, when the father hugged him, the child put his father, I want to say, no. Get up. He called his son and said, come on, celebrate with me. Ah, celebrate this boy. And they celebrated. Come on, cook. Put the best robe and put it on him. Ring in his finger. And said he was dead. Now he's found. And they still brought, you know how much he took away. They still brought him. He still ate. The Bible says they killed for him the fatted calf. King James English. And then the one, that good guy that has always been at home, was coming and heard about it. And said, why is there a party in there? They say, your brother is back. Eh? And that's why they are throwing all this party. He said, I'm not coming inside. Ah, I'm not coming. I can't enter there. They said, why? He said, my father is a wicked man. Then the father came outside to meet him. Oh, son, come on, let's go and rejoice. Your brother is back. He said, I'm not coming inside. The father said, what happened? He said, I've been with you all this while, serving you. You never gave me anything. You never threw a party for me. Now this, your wicked son is back. And you think the father would say, what do you think we should do? The father said, no. Everything I have is yours. Do you know what the dad is trying to say? You don't understand. He's trying to say, you have sense. You did not ask. If you had asked, you would have gotten. You've always been with him. Why didn't you throw a party? Why didn't you ask for a party? He's busy condemning the other one. Glory to God. So you see, when you retrace your steps back to God, he accepts you as though you never missed it. The time for you to discover purpose has come. I'm telling you. And for those of you that you have discovered, it's time to step into it. Watch out. Just watch. Glory. All right, number two important things that you need to know now. Your gifts and talents are not your purpose in life. Hello. Your gifts and talents are not your purpose in life. They are given to you of God to stand you out and help you fulfill your purpose uniquely. The reason for your gifts and your talent, listen, your gifts and talents are not your purpose in life. They are given to you to help you stand out and help you fulfill your purpose uniquely. The reason why one man of God is different from the other is because of his personality. It's because of his gifts that makes him unique. Listen, when one man of God may be preaching the same message, but when this one preaches it, his personality is on it. When the other one preaches it, his personality is on it. You see? So, they may be preaching the same message, but not the same way. They are not... Why? Because of the gifts they are given. Gift is inborn. That gift is not your purpose. It's been given to help you towards your purpose. It's been given to help you with your purpose. It's been given to help you stand out. I told you, singing is a gift, but that's not your purpose. There is a purpose. There's something God has called you to do. What is that? Okay. Through your singing, of course, you're going to do this thing, but what he has called you to do, maybe it might be, I want you to facilitate my presence in the body of Christ through singing. It might be, I want you to preach the gospel through singing. That's why different ministers, they have different styles. When you hear the voice of Sinach, it's different, very different from when you hear the voice of Lara George or when you hear the voice of another singer. You know, there's something about them. They are gifts. They may be saying the same thing. They may be singing the same thing. What's that? The love of Jesus. Oh, Father, we worship you. It might be the same thing they're singing, but that gift that she has been given stands her out. That's our own uniqueness. Say hallelujah. But you know what? You can use your gift against God. You can. You can leave the purpose and face the gift. That's the reason why we have Christians who are singing hip-hop songs. The gift was given to them of God. And of course, it's true. They may go about announcing it. This is the gift that God has given me. Yes. And they have inspiration. You say, why is God giving them inspiration? Listen. It's not God that is giving them inspiration to sing the nonsense song. With your gift of singing comes inspiration. But the inspiration will only stir up what you have loaded in your spirit. There is no hip-hop artist that can sing gospel song successfully. He doesn't have the words. He doesn't have the wordings. He doesn't have the lyrics. He would not have it. Why? Because he has been loading junks, listening to fellow hip-hop singers. So now he says, I want to do something else. And so I want to sing. As he's singing it, it will be sounding hip-hop. Even if he uses the tone of gospel, he's coming to the hearers. And so who are those that will dance to it? The same hip-hop people. He wouldn't have the right words, the right wordings. But when you are loaded with the word of God, that's why no matter what you want to listen, either you are singing or you are into drama, whatever you're doing, first you must be loaded with the word of God. In your spirit, you become a very successful, listen to this, you become a very successful gospel minister, gospel singer, when you are very loaded with the word of God. What you'll be singing will be the message, the word of God. That's the reason people like Sinach are there and they are still there. They've been there. It's the word of God. You're listening to her, you're feeling like, my goodness. You will know that this lady was loaded with the message. Glory to God. So don't mistake your gifts and your talent with your purpose. Proverbs 18:16. You see, I'm taking this one gently because this foundation is very important. A man's gift maketh room for him. An important point is there. We'll talk about it shortly. And bringeth him before great men. Actually, the Greek word, the Hebrew word for gift there, that Hebrew word primarily is not talking about gift of dancing, gift of singing, gift of acting. It's talking about presents, like bribe. So when you bribe someone, he says your bribe makes room for you. It brings you before great men. That's what that Hebrew word means. I studied it. But hear me. Because it says it also means present. That means God, hey, I love God. God has presented you with gifts. Because in this case, the gift is coming from God. So it's a present from God. Why is that present giving you? Several reasons. Number one, I've mentioned the first one, to help your purpose. Number two, to make you live a good life. Some people, they feed on their gifts. Their gift is what is making them, you see? That's another reason. Another reason is for you to have to enjoy life to yourself. That's why when you have this gift, anytime you are in display, you're displaying this gift, you are happy with yourself. You're just cool. It's one of the reasons why God has given you the gift. You see that? Okay. Next, your calling. Number three, your calling. I want to differentiate them to you. Your calling. That which you were sent of God to do is your calling. The task given you of God. Your calling is usually more specific. More specific. It could involve details like who you are or who you are sent to where and how. Your purpose is like this. I'm sending you to take my word to the unbelievers. That's your purpose. Your calling, we say, specifically to those in Asia. I've sent you to those in Asia. I've sent you to the body of Christ. You know, when you are beginning to all those specifics, that's your calling. You are called to these ones. Paul, the apostle, was sent, you know, God sent him with a message. But then, to the Gentiles, that's his calling. Do you understand that? So your calling is more specific, okay? Because that's the task you're given. Number four, let's round up this. I want to talk to you, activities. That's the fourth one. I'm talking about the things you need to know about purpose, activities. Now, your activities that you carry out here have nothing to do with your purpose. These are things that are put there by men, by human beings. For instance, going to school is an activity in this world. You go to school. Now, for some people, their purpose may require them to go to school, but it's still an activity. Going to school, getting married, having children. If you don't ever get married, God is not going to be mad at you. God is not going to say, you did not fulfill my purpose. Except if God gave you the purpose of being, you know, for instance, Abraham's purpose was to be a father. You see? So in such a case, Abraham will have to get married. So if that's not there, just God has no business with you. Why didn't you get married? Why do you have only two children or three children? What's the matter with you? You need to replenish the earth. No! The earth has been replenished. It's not us. Who said you to replenish it? I wonder why some people are taking a long time to laugh about this matter. Okay, that's a fact. There are activities. Activities of I work in a place, I do this, I do that. All those things are activities. I'm going to get deep in a short while to show you some very important things. So that you'll be able to differentiate between I'm working in a place, I'm doing this, and your purpose in life. There are three kinds of purpose. There are three kinds of purpose. Number one, primary. Secondary, temporary. Primary purpose is that which you were originally born. Born. The reason for which you exist. What you were born for. What God formed you for and brought you into this world for. Primary purpose. Secondary purpose usually are extensions of this primary purpose. If God has called you into politics, for instance, or God has called you, okay, let me use my own line. Yeah. God has called you to be a pastor, to pastor this church. Now, while you are pastoring the church, you're called to pastor, right? That's your purpose. You're calling specifically to feed them God's word in the area of faith. Maybe that's your calling specifically. Now, while you're doing that, in the course of it, there are some needy people in your street. You decide to give money to feed them. Extension of the original thing. Secondary purpose. Then, the temporary is that purpose, something that you're supposed to do for a period of time. There are some people, for instance, that are in churches, they are just supposed to be there for a period of time. But they are going to have their own ministry. So why they are there? Now, it's a temporary purpose, but yet is a service, and God is going to mark that. And then, when they are done with that, they can now move when God instructs them. They are there for that period of time. It's called temporary purpose. There are some other things too that you could be involved in. For instance, somebody who is called to be an evangelist, and then they put him in charge of choir in the church. Temporary purpose. Somebody who is called to be this, maybe a teacher, and then they just put him and say, okay, you'll be the one in charge of the ushering department. Temporary. But the period you are fulfilling that, you must be faithful. Because that is going to judge a lot of things, going to determine a lot of things. If you're ever going to move to the next level, you must be faithful. Those are called temporary purpose. Hallelujah. Okay, now lift your hand towards heaven. Pray to God now. Pray.